I was heavily into drugs and alcohol, and I, you know, it was pretty much ruining, smashing everything of any value to me. And this was,
how old were you?
Oh, 20, from approximately mid to late 20s, this period. And so this was a progressive sort of period where there was a lot of destruction. And and so turning around and coming out of that with a lot of help and a lot of structure and process and not returning to that, that was a very definitive turning point for me. You know, it's almost like a life with two halves. There was this life before reaching the age of 29, and then there was this life from that point onwards, and it continues. And so two radically different existences for me.
Yeah.
So that fundamentally was the biggest. It was a very, very dark and just depressive time, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, for a lot of other people as well, because I'll be honest with you, when you're kind of in that, AJ, you're not a lot of fun to be around.
Hey everyone, I am Ajay Tambe, the host and producer of Create Your Starting Podcast. And today I have with me a very talented artist, Mark Hulier, on the show. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Welcome, AJ. Thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
Okay, great. To everyone, I just want to inform that Mark was a part of our very, most closer to my heart series, the series that went for 12 episodes. He played in the, I guess you ended the series, right?
Ended.
He was the one where the series got ended. The series finale for the Knights of Avalon. He was part of the Knights of Avalon, one of my favorite series, and it was our Christmas and New Year special. That's where I got connected. He was, I guess, you were shooting for some film, right? You were on set at that point.
At the time, it was halfway through shooting a horror film. And
Horror film.
Yeah, I remember.
You? I guess you were in the car, or no, you were there, but
it was the car.
Right?
you had to step off set, get in the car, and then we negotiated the details around the story.
It was very quick decision and very end of the schedule. You know, I was looking for artist, and that's where we got connected, and he was in the shoot. Hey, okay, what's the thing? Okay, I'll be there. And that's where we figured out it was, I guess, in the month of December, I guess, or October, November end, around that. But that's where you were shooting, and that's where you decided. Today's 27th and we are here. So first of all, tell me what's going on today. What's your schedule? What's happening
today? Very casual, AJ. Just been to the beach with a dog, and it's sunny here, so you may just hear them barking in the background, but so I've got no real plans. I'm just going to take it easy and get a few jobs done at home. So it's a nice Saturday, relaxed.
It's a weekend for you. So any film project that you're working on at this moment? What are the projects?
I'm just preparing for another feature film, and it's a Christmas film.
Wow. So now that's good.
Yeah, obviously we're filming now because we clearly need the winter landscape. Mm-hmm. So, but of course it won't be released obviously till next Christmas. And I play a grumpy uncle.
great. I love Christmas movies. You know, I have a bunch of lists that I just saved it. You know, there's a lot of films that are releasing on Netflix, you know, these days.
Yes.
So I just saved all those Christmas movies to watch whenever I get time.
Cool.
I was planning, but somehow this Knights of Avalon happened. There was no plan of Knights of Avalon. It just happened. I was looking for something Christmassy, but this happened. Okay. So here's the thing. Here's the thing. You started as a safety coordinator 2006, right?
That is true in the film industry. But at the time, I was actually employed by London Underground on the Tube. Mm-hmm. And I, for many years, was a trainer on the Tube. Mm-hmm. And periodically, I would get called in on overtime to safety coordinate shoots on the disused stations. So I was kind of getting a taste of filmmaking, but I was still employed by London Underground, and they were some great shoots I was involved in. I got to meet a lot of great actors and watch a lot of films take place. So that was my first run at working a film set.
I got the whole idea. Can you help our listeners more in simple way what a safety coordinator is and what he do on the set or overall the job?
Well, anybody that's been on a set will understand that when a director or a first AD, certainly a DOP, director of photography, wants a certain shot, they do whatever it takes. And the problem with that is when you're working on a tube station with electrified rails and moving trains, it's not possible. So in simple terms, I had to make sure that they didn't take any unnecessary risks or cause any injuries, basically.
Yeah. So you make sure that shot, that DOP is going to make it happen. You play a very important job that it doesn't go wrong. It making sure that this thing, that 10-minute scene or 5-minute scenes or even 15 seconds, that should be done properly. And you are the guy who's managing that no mess happens when they are shooting.
It's safe conduct on set.
Okay, great. Sounds good. So, Mark, before we jump on how you transitioned from safety coordinator to now a professional actor, you're doing a lot of films, proper films, you know, and you started as someone who is just managing the job behind the scene, you know, behind the screens and all. I'd like to jump on to your childhood days as you grew up in East London, right? London, Hackney, and you were born in 1970s. So 70s, I guess, you grew up in 80s and most of the 90s. How was your childhood? How were you as a kid?
If I'm honest, AJ, I was a bit of a wayward kid. In other words, I was normally getting into trouble. Whoa. And it's a colourful past. And basically, it was a great place and a great time to grow up in East London. And I absolutely loved it. And so, you know, I skipped school a lot of the time and I was just getting up to no good.
Were you going good in sports? What is the thing? Cricket? What was the thing with you?
Not really. I loved cars. I loved
cars.
From a very early age. So I really wasn't interested in sports, but I was kind of learning to drive at 14, 15 years old on private land and sorts. Yeah.
And driving cars and driving was the thing that.
And working on them. So, just kind of rolling with a crowd like you do. In East London.
What was your first job? If I count you, I guess 2021, you get to start jobs and all. What was the first job that you did?
I was 15.
15? Whoa, go on.
And I actually started, my first job full time was building kilns, you know, which you put pottery and clay. So that fires up the clay. And the kilns were something that I was employed to spray with paint on the outside. Very, very dull job, but that was my first job.
Okay, got it. And then I guess more with driving and all that you told me about.
That came, yes.
And I guess what led to safety coordinator? What was that?
Well, that was part of a job that I'd actually worked a long time in with London Underground. Mm-hmm. And it's very safety orientated organization because of the nature. And so what I did was actually develop on the tube to becoming an instructor. So I would train the train drivers to drive the trains and fix them when they were broke. And so that all encompassed an element of safety and coordination with procedures. So that was simply the basis for being able to do the same job, whether it be a film set or running a station, it was the same. So that
it was the same.
That kind of gave me the skills to do what was necessary.
So I guess the work that you're doing was the same, but you changed the industry, just the shift in industry where the requirement was the same. So you grabbed up that opportunity very quick and you were good because you had experience, like I guess a lot of years of experience that only helped you to become a pro in that particular field. And then you transitioned to be a safety coordinator, what we call in this industry terms, which is in the film industry. That's what we call these people. Okay, so this was the transition for you.
Yeah,
so
was the basis.
Okay. Yeah. So you never went to college? What was the thing?
I left school at 15. No college, no university, no. I left school without a single, I don't know, I managed to do it, but I left without a single qualification.
Oh, God. Oh, so why you left? Was there any reason?
Yeah, I hated school with passion. And I did absolutely my best not to be there. And I would spend hours and days in the West End of London. I would skip school, jump on a bus, number six to West End, And mm-hmm. I would just wander around places like Leicester Square, Soho, Oxford Street, you know, just, I was lured. I loved the West End.
Oh, God. You living the life. That was the thing for you.
Pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much that. And you made it on your own. Whatever you did Absolutely. It by what skills you had. There was no degree or there was no anything you went that you learned. It was just happened by experiences. And I guess that's the path you took for yourself. Rather than going for institutions, you just went for it. So in this whole period of you being, you leaving the school, basically not interested in any subject.
I'm done.
So how this acting thing or like, you know, connection with films, anything was there going on in back of your mind? What was that? Something related to films or just enjoying films?
Enjoying them. I mean, I was a film nut and I didn't really have a vision of getting involved. But since I was, since I can remember, I was an absolute film fan. And, you know, I grew up on seeing all the greats in the cinema, you know, the first Star Wars, Jaws, you know, the Clint Eastwood films, the Every Which Way.
That was a peak of those.
Oh, it was absolutely a world that I loved. And when I stepped into a cinema, it was like, you know, I felt, this is the place to be. And we got a VCR very early, turn of the 80s, so 80, I was about 10. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my dad, let's just say he managed to get hold of certain films before they should have been. And so I was kind of watching films a lot of the time. And so I'd sneak in the drawer and drag out the next film and watch it. And, you know, so.
Yeah, you're a movie lover. That's
absolute movie lover. Okay. Yeah,
and I guess that was a period. That was a peak period of, you know, the Star Wars Star Trek. I guess there's a whole series of 12, 15, 20 years of cinema that really changed the whole thing, I guess. And that also made you, this is the thing I really love. And
I loved it.
That was a period where it was make-believe, you know, that was the world. Now it's like more spread out, you know, with OTTs and all. We have like everything going around every single week, every single day. There's a lot of punching of films nowadays. Back in those days, there was limited. Okay, that was that was a good thing. And there was no internet.
No, there was nothing but just either at a VCR or you took yourself to the cinema, you know.
Now we jump. I got the whole idea. I got the whole journey of you in your words, like how you became safety coordinator, what was your relationship with the movies and all. And I guess when you became, I guess it was the period where you around early 2000s, right? So mid of first 5 years, 6 years. And what led you to go and choose acting? How this transition happened? What was going through your mind when you decided I want to do acting now and not just to be a safety coordinator?
Yeah. I mean, as I said, the safety coordinator kind of role was parallel to a job that I was still in, which was with London Underground. So I kind of had the full-time job. The safety role was a nice introduction and something to do, as you say, which kind of like, you know, allowed me to see what's going on a set and experience it. When I left the Tube, the London Underground job, I retired from there fairly early, 49 I was, and I wasn't sure entirely what to do next. And, you know, so, as you say, I'd had a taste. I knew what was going on. I thought, actually, I'm going to try and step into the support artist role, what most people refer to as extras, it allowed me to get back on set and see and from a different angle, be involved. So when I decided that was what I was going to do, I also thought, well, why not do the whole thing? And actually, I'm going to try acting as well. And so I literally took on the whole idea in one swoop. I thought, I'm going into this completely.
Let's go all in.
And that's that literally was only a few years ago. And
it's a game changer for you. When I see your work and this whole different journey for you. And one more thing, was there anyone who told you or suggested you from your work life that, hey, why don't you? Was there, or you? It was just you own, like your
just
own
me, just me. Yeah, okay. I honestly can't remember, and I didn't have any situations where I could even demonstrate what I was capable of, where somebody could make that comment. So I literally walked in cold, and it was much like when I left school. It was a decision, and it was like, that's what I'm going to do. And just, you know, the fact
it was a big shift for you. It was a big shift. That was a big transition. And and just go tell me, how was this transition? What was the learning? What was, you know, there is a phase where you just changing, and that is the phase that's very challenging. What was that period, the transition phase for you, from safety to just being in the films? What were the learnings?
It was on much like any job, I've learned by doing, and this was no different. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of experienced and with that process, because it didn't faze me that I had no drama class, no acting qualifications, no formal training in acting.
Yeah.
That just didn't faze me. And I just thought, well, okay, I'm just going to go into this and let's do it wholeheartedly. And if I'm no good at it, AJ, I figured they'll soon tell me. And so,
wow. So this is good. This is the very different way to approach acting, you know.
Yeah.
You, the exercise for your eyes and the brain was already happening from years and years, because you were observing. You were very close to DOP and handling that whole scene happening in front of your eyes. It was not very different for you. That whole exercise that an actor does was happening in front of you for a very long time.
So I guess, that
and that really, you know, because you have to handle very the things that can damage the whole process of making a scene happen. That's why you are very hand-eye coordination. What we can say, the brain is connected with the eyes, and whole thing is observing not to let this go into the mess. That's why I guess that really helped in the other way, that you were not aware that you can do this as a form of acting.
Right.
And that's where I guess you really, and I guess that's really what connected you, and you never had a second thought of, what if I can't do, you know?
No.
No, you never had that.
Well,
there was no thought.
I guess, see, I mean, with all due respect, and obviously where it's due is certainly with somebody starting out. I understand, and I've learned a lot over the last couple of years. And, you know, as an actor, if I guess you're starting from drama school in your 20s or heading towards your 30s.
Basically everyone.
And, you've got a lot of more pressure, and I am in a position, I realize it, that pressure to some extent has been removed, because I'm entering this industry later in life, and I've kind of, you know, brought the kids up, the family's, you know, off and running, the career was, you know, was set, so a lot of things were not
different.
Riding they weren't riding on the success or the outcome of this venture.
It's so, like, and okay, I need something.
Yeah, and basically that was the chosen something, and I didn't have the pressures. It was almost like, well, we have a saying in London, in for a pound, in for a penny, in for a pound. And it was like, if this doesn't work out, I'll just do something else.
So now just share me one thing. Take me to that first moment of where you were doing this first job. Acting job. Who hired you? What was the thing? Who called you? Where you auditioned? What happened? That particular first one only.
It was the one that has not long been released, actually. Burnt Flowers. It's a kind of
you noir. Mentioned your favorite.
Yeah, project. Noir. Yeah, and that's why, because it's the very first acting job I got.
Yeah,
and it was made by a really good film director, Mike Falsey. He's independent, you know, filmmaker, and this project was. Daunting because I managed to audition and then got invited to a second audition, and then something really strange happened, AJ. They said, we'd like to give you the part, and it was like, what are you sure? And so at this point it was like, oh, okay. And I got sent the script, and it was one of five leads, and so there was quite some scenes and some dialogue, and I looked at the script and thought, that was the first moment it was like, oh, this is really happening then.
This is happening.
And
what was your feeling? Like excited?
Excited, joy, scared, joy, trepidation. It was all on. And but I never sunk into a sort of, oh my God, no, I don't want to do this. I don't remember ever. And
that's good. That's really good.
I did all the preparation that I could based on what little and non-existent training.
That's really good. I took the advice of
one or two people and got going. And the first day on set, I rolled up, and it was a very sort of close set. It was just me and one actress, and I got talking, very nice lady. And I thought, I best not tell anyone that I've never done this before. So I didn't.
That was really tricky for you.
I'm from East London, so
like,
I can.
It will happen. Go other direction.
Exactly. I can kind of talk my way out of a few things. So I thought, if asked, I'll just dance around the subject, you know. and we just got going. And the very first time, I can vividly remember that the clapper went, and Mike said action. The very first time, I thought, wow, this is a feeling I've never experienced. This is electric. And I love it. So I knew straight away. Yeah.
This is good. So now tell me, do you do any guidance to the fellow safety coordinators nowadays? Are you there?
No, I don't. I tend not to cross the lines. Not really.
Anytime any expertise of you are used for fellow mates, if they need, do you do? Or there's still now no one has approached for that? But
no, not really. I mean, because if you're working on a well-organized set, which, for the best part, you are. All of these things are taken care of. So everybody knows what their role is. Everybody knows what they're there to do. So I definitely don't want to step on any toes, AJ.
Sometimes it happens. Sometimes it may happen. So I thought it happened, but it didn't. So I guess everything's good. So now, yes, Jen, you are someone who were behind the scenes safety coordinator. There's no something that you want to achieve. Everything was settled pretty much for you. You were just looking for to do, because that's why we live, to do something in life.
Absolutely.
So now you got a job. You're doing acting. Everything is going perfect, like you got it. Now, here's the thing. Tell me, what's your process of preparing for a role, or just like you got your first film, preparing for audition, preparing the process of preparing for a character? And now I'm curious how you prepared it, because you have a very different background, like different story of watching films and making things, seeing things happening in your front you see things happen in your front. Now, what's your process of approaching and preparing for a character?
Well, first things first, I mean, naturally, reading the entire script really helps. Mm-hmm. And even though there may be only sort of a number of scenes, but the big picture. And I've got to be honest, a lot of my, inspiration / guidance is just the sheer volume of movies and actors that I've literally studied over the years. Like, I don't just watch a film. I really get involved in a film, and I'll critique a film I'll talk about a film post watching. And so I see a lot of things, or have seen a lot of things, and I've stolen a lot of things. Absolutely. I mean,
your story. What are you going to do about that?
Exactly.
That's how you look at that frame, particular frame.
Yeah.
Because that's what you have in your bank, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
This is how you perform, and this is how you prepare for yourself, because that's one part of approaching towards anything related to character. You watch particular films and you think like, okay, this is relatable to this particular character. I've seen this happening. I can try this in my character. And that's how you prepare for a role, an audition. So is there any change from your first film to now when you go for audition or prepare for a character?
Yeah, I mean, experience comes a lot more insight. And obviously, over the years, just like burnt flowers, the whole experience was almost like an apprenticeship. It's like I'm learning by doing. And quite literally, I did see that film not so long ago, and I was interested to find out how that looks, because the director put it on the shelf while he got on with other projects. So there was at least 2.5 to 3 years between actually finishing that. And so it was very interesting. But just, you know, picking up on quicker ways to achieve the results you're looking for, methods that I've learned from so many wonderful actors that I've worked with and continue to watch. And I've also extended, obviously. So I guess my process has become more detailed and slicker.
So you go more deep now
and absolutely
get things faster. before.
Exactly. Preparation is more slick. And I'm an absolute lover of observing people. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm talking everybody everywhere. And, you know, I can sit and have a coffee at a coffee shop and just quite happily watch people for 30 to an hour. Just not in a weird way.
Observation. Exactly. I get everyone, every, you know, professional actor do this kind of thing. Observation, really important part of actor's whole process. And I guess you got it. You got it. You try it out, and you like everyday life, you use that as a tool to grab it and put it in your bank. Okay, this absolutely. I see this happening. And when you realize you're good at observation, okay, this is one thing I can use. When you realize that observation part of your journey,
I've always been an observer. We're talking. I would mimic and observe people since I was a kid. So it's been a lifelong. So
like it's been with you forever.
It's completely natural, and I love the nuances of just everyday people, just watching people, and especially in East London, there's some real characters, and you know, so I can draw on a multitude of people that I've interacted with or come to know or meet, worked with, and bring something that I've spotted in them to any character.
I know. Now I know. You're good in mimicking. You're good in like the small nuances. You capture them very fast. I guess that's really one part of you that got you first film. I guess that's the first part. Like I guess you are very good at it. That's why I guess you can grasp very fast compared to some other guys. That's really a good part that you have, and you had no idea it existed inside you.
No idea.
Very long time.
No and idea.
And once you entered into acting, it just became okay. It was there for you. And once you got, you used it very perfectly. Great to know that.
That's the first time I've actually sat and thought, speaking to you, that's actually where that's probably come into very good use.
This is something that we have, you know, like of the observation that you told. That's very, very best part of every actor who is performing unprofessionally. That's the first part, and that's the important part. Attention to details, watching things, catching the nuances. And one of them, you have it. You can capture that one part, which is like very small, mimicking the part. Then you know how to capture that particular scene. And I guess it was going inside you for a very long time. It was with you. And now you have opportunity to use it. That's great. That's great. Thank you for sharing that. Now, here's the thing. Can you describe your process of getting into characters which are different from you? For example, you get a character. Most of the times, you get selected to the part because it is done by casting coordinator, I guess, casting directors and all.
Yeah.
So you get a part where they know this guy fits for this. But now, I guess, over the years, you have good kind of connections and networking with people. Some may approach you just because they know you and your work, and they just want to experiment with you. Or they try to, hey, this is other part, and it is different. You ever got approached for character which is opposite from what you are, or always had that kind of characters? How you approach something which is opposite of what you are?
Yes, and I think that the one character that just fits the description you've just laid out, AJ, would be for a film that I did, and it was the lead role, and I played a man who uses a wheelchair who injured himself during a ballet performance. Okay. So I've never done ballet. I have no idea what it is to be a wheelchair user. Firsthand, of course, obviously. And this guy was suicidal. So this was kind of like, wow, okay, this is three for three. And you know, so I've had a lot of experiences in my life, and I've drawn on most of them. And in the job, I've dealt with people with suicide.
The trauma
I've been around suicide, especially on the underground. And I also was, to some extent, involved in what they call equality training. For people that you, and so I was starting to draw on all of these experiences, what it is to be in a wheelchair. And not have the usual access. So I guess, like we were just talking about, I really just had to start, you know, sort of scanning my own experiences first to try and figure out if I've got anything that I can use and contribute to the character. And if there's nothing there, then I will literally just do some research and try and, you know, try and sort of get some information on that particular sort of, you know, personality or, you know, somebody in that sort of position. And so, but the director was, you know, really, really pleased with what we came up with. So
I guess
we did a good job. He was very helpful because obviously like any actor will be reliant on a number and a degree of notes and of course direction. So, you know, because they have a vision of what this person looks like. So do you.
And I guess the part that you mentioned where you actually being around that thoughts of suicide and people who are looking to do suicide. That whole period is filled with trauma, you know, that period where when you check that person's brain, it's completely opposite of what you expect from normal guy. There's a lot of negativity around him and there's a lot of not feeling anything from anything. And I guess that trauma that you had, it no one can forget that particular person or that particular period. The trauma is really huge. And I guess that the moment you told me about it, I got convinced like, okay, this guy knows what he's talking about. Okay, he has been around that particular aura of having a suicidal thoughts or not being able to do anything. For someone who is on a wheelchair, someone who is dancing and then going back, there's no motivation left. Right. And I guess that's a very powerful thing that you have with you, the memory recall. What we can say, because you can recall those moments. The moment you recall it like it's happening now around you. You make them into existence. And I guess that's what helped you to, you know, make it happen in front of the character. I guess. And that's what is helping you out because you can recall them and in a very specific way that it comes into existence because you have very good memory recall. And I guess that's one thing that's helping you out in approaching.
It's very useful. Plus, the decades of life experience because
that's what acting is. You know,
exactly,
it requires that.
Definitely, absolutely. Yeah. I guess to some extent. Sorry, that's kind of like the I guess the difference in the approach if coming out of drama school or if coming out of university at 23. Mm-hmm. Or starting in this industry early 50s, then, you know, what's different there is ultimately life experience. And so
it's all about life, you know. Once you get the experience, you can connect and you can bring that that whole thing as a skill. And that's what is important. You can convince people. The power of convincing people can happen with your experience. And I guess you're doing that and you have that particular experience of, I guess, a large number of years. And that is making easy for you compared to other guys who are not in that phase, but just researching XYZ. That's different process. You have a different, you have a good bank of experiences where you can just search the year, open a file.
like a Rolodex,
I was going to talk about Burnt Flowers, but I guess you told me how that project happened. And I guess that makes everyone realize why that film is special. And you told me how it happened. So I guess that question we got covered. Now we'll jump to some other question, which is about in projects like Cinderella's Revenge and A Thousand Blows. You have worked with notable figures like, you know, some personalities like Natasha Henstridge, Stephen Graham. What is that? Mal Chigurbi? How you call it?
Malachi.
Okay.
Yeah.
I had no idea. That's why I was going to confirm. Malachi Kirby. And these are some people with experiences and with star power and people recognize them. They have a good amount of work experience, been in popular projects, and are personalities with you know, experience that you can just be around them and learn a lot of things. Just be around their work process and all, and you can learn a lot of how they approach things. What were some key takeaways from working alongside with such experienced actors?
And you've said it really in a nutshell because when they actually work, I'm watching them like I watch a lot of people. I also like to see the communication that takes place. And what I've taken from a lot of actors is mm-hmm. the way in which they interact with directors and directors of photography, DOP, mm-hmm. because, you know, what you see in front of the camera is naturally what the actor brings and delivers. And to see that, you can see it, but you might not necessarily know what the process internally is at that moment in time. But when they start discussing what they're going to do with the director or with the DOP, then you start to actually, you get an insight as to what is going on internally. And so that's that for me is a golden opportunity. And I love to seize that. And Natasha, she was an absolute dream to watch work. And it was really great being, because I was a day player on this particular film. And so it was mm-hmm. just perfect that the one day I'm actually working on this film was in a scene with her. So that was like, mm-hmm. Hey. And, you know, very down to earth, very relaxed. And she pulled a joke on me. I don't know if you're familiar with her films, Species, the original Species, Species. Uh-huh. And so I kind of, during the conversation, says, oh, I actually went to the cinema to see your break film, if you will, Species. And she looked and she said, I wasn't in that. And I went, I'm sure you were. She's like,
okay. He's
like, oh, you had me.
Oh, shit.
And so we were just talking about that and, just to kind of like, discuss how a scene is going. And
just like moments you
have. Yeah, exactly. And they're really, really great, grounded people, as was Malachi. And because he's an upcoming actor as well. And so I could see what a new actor, because if you look over his kind of acting history, some of the sort of most prominent stuff in the recent years, like for television. And so to be alongside somebody very sort of relatively new and upcoming through the industry as well.
But
getting to that next level. And and then opposite that is as you said, Stephen Graham. Watching this guy work was phenomenal. Absolutely focused. Anybody that's worked with him, he's 100%. But the amount of discussions with the director and other people involved, like stunt coordinators, and just, he has a clear idea. He has an idea of what he wants, but he also bounces off of a lot of people. So open-minded and willing to listen to alternative ideas. So not so focused that nobody else's opinion or, input is of any use. It was amazing to watch, really. And, spent a couple of weeks on set watching him work and the director, because the show's broke up into two seasons, long story short, and the director on each episode is a different director. So he's working with somebody different on every episode. So that must just take a lot.
Just understanding the vision. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So just that sheer focus, that being sheer grounded. Focus. Humble, there was a lot of humility around these people, and
there's a lot of things that I guess you have with you yourself, and once you see that in other people, you can just auto check that I got this, and these are the something that I'm also on a good track. You just auto check yourself, these are the qualities that I have, and I guess some qualities are really good to have what these people have, and there's something that what you have is insider tip or tips that you get from working with these guys, because you get to know how this guy breaks down thing, or what, how he approaches to a particular moment, or how he think differently to approach for a character or for a situation. And that's what I guess you got from working around with these guys, where you know how he is doing this. I can also apply this in when I'm in some certain situations. So I guess that's one thing that you grab every time you work with some people who are really good at their craft, and that's what you can use it later.
Yes,
I guess that's where it helped you, and it's going to help you. And there's something that you also have, the qualities which is necessary, where you think, I'm on good track, or these are something great people or people who are doing some things at excellent level follow, and I'm following that too. So I guess that's really good for you, and something that you also have an insider tip. What do you can say?
Definitely. Store it in the bank. I think if I can refer you, because I was watching your interview with Wayne, who also was
Yeah,
I've not worked with Wayne, sorry. And I hope so, because, you know, we communicated a couple of times on the
So you guys know each other?
We know each other on Instagram, and we've conversed just briefly, but it was mainly around the Knights of Avalon brought in more of a connection. And so, but it was one thing I caught what he was saying, and I 100% agree with. Basically, it's a small world, in as much as also when you're working with people, you have no idea. That it's such a small world in such a way that everybody's connected in some way or another, a set. And so literally just that idea of being humble and treating everybody with absolute, you know, respect you know, common decency is priceless. If nobody gets anything upcoming and is thinking about getting in this industry, that's the one I took straight away. So yeah, it's very valuable. Definitely.
I'm glad to hear that, you know, when and you guys talked along, because I had no idea. Even there's a lot of artists from UK, and I've been hearing that they know Wayne. I guess you guys do talk as a connection with each other, and you guys communicate, and that's really good part to know. I'll inform Wayne that he mentioned about you mentioned about him, and it's good to know that. And yeah, you told me that this is a particular thing that you just need to be good with people anyway. And you need to be good in the toughest situations, where you there's a make and break situation in every project where you face, where it may go a lie between your self-respect and your ego, and you are now going to choose what you're going to do. That's really, really tough situation. And it happens with every big project. And that's where, how you're going to react, how you're going to take that decision, are you going to leave, are you going to stay? And that's really tricky part. And it happens, and how you respond to it towards that particular situation tells more about your character, and you can certainly justify where it lied. It lied in your ego or in your self-respect part, and how you dealt with that. And that's really one part that usually happens often. That usually often happens, you know, when you're working with a big crew or big cast every time.
Absolutely.
Now, here's the thing. I guess 4 years in this field, right? Just acting?
Yes.
Okay. So in these 4 years, I guess there was pandemic involved in 2-3 years, I guess. Big pandemic. And that's where I guess you started, just before pandemic. How do you think you have changed or grown as a person since you began your acting career? Because now there's a shift in the whole world approaching towards their life, like people in this world approaching towards their life after pandemic, you know, big shift. Like everything changed. The one thing that people used to imagine, everything shut down, got into vain, and then something new happened. This show happened. This show, for example, this whole thing happened because of pandemic. So there must have been changes in your life. So how this career in this last 4 years of like unbelievable transformation overall world, how this acting field, acting career has changed or grown you as a person?
Well, if my wife was sitting here in front of you listening to that,
what happened?
She and I have a running joke, and I use social media a hell of a lot more. That's an evident change, because for obvious reasons. And there's this modus operandum, this MO in this industry. It's like there's two speeds. There's like, you know, standing still or quickly. It's like all or nothing. And so the lack of potentially the lack of notice and preparation or time between projects or notice of work is so random. So I've really had to develop the idea that it's not hard and fast. Like, okay, next week I'm at work doing this because that's my day job. It's like next week I have no idea what I'm doing because I have no idea what's going to come up. And and so there's that spontaneity. And I think if you're not really used to living that way, that's one thing. So yeah, my wife, the kind of going joke is that she says, you know, acting's changed you, you know, and, you know, in a joking way. And so she keeps me grounded, which is great. So just the management of time, just the idea of a calendar, and you know, the variation of it has kind of developed for me a lot more kind of tolerance and patience, yeah. and mm-hmm. you know, just open-mindedness in this idea that, you know, as well as it's kind of developed a degree of confidence, I guess, over the mm-hmm. last number of years. And mm-hmm. on top of that, it's the whole sort of it's the dismissal of a job, you know, the withdrawal yeah. of a part or the work that's just cancelled. And
yeah,
and so just it's interesting because it's a funny thing when I get something that I'm absolutely desperate to work on, invariably uh-huh. something shifts or doesn't quite work out. And it's yeah. it's almost like the universe. It's, you know what I'm saying? You know, karma's yeah. a strange oh, thing.
Yeah, I get it.
And it's the same when you go into castings or auditions. Yeah. It's almost like yeah. a director or a casting can smell that desperation. they know you want this job, so you're probably not going to get it.
Yeah.
As opposed that to is. Like whatever, you know, oh, I'm just doing better. Yeah. I'm not interested in this because I'm so busy. And it's like, I mean, that's a very yeah. I mean, you'd like to think, but
yeah.
But not to take away from anybody's efforts, mm-hmm. you know. And but it's a whole range of facets that I've been exposed yeah. to and I've had to develop, just to name mm-hmm. a few, as I was saying. And so I've become a little bit thicker skinned and yeah, yeah. just a little bit more tolerant, and the ability to just roll with situations. Is something that I've developed, I guess, over the years. So yeah.
Good. One thing I got from you is yeah, there's uncertainty in this business. That's one thing I guess changed a lot of things inside you. You got yeah. patient, you got tolerant, you know how to deal with the situations, and you came to know, okay, something when I think, okay, this is going to happen and it doesn't happen.
Right.
And sometimes I just avoid, oh no, I have things, and that's where the things actually happen. So yeah. that for a certain uncertainty, you got to know about it, of this yeah. business. Because yeah. otherwise it was very good for you for 9 to 7, 9 to 5 job kind of things. And this is completely different. 1 week you have a lot of things to do,
yeah,
completely busy, and then you have a lot of rest days where yes. you have nothing.
Yes, period of time.
Yeah, I get it. I got it.
Yeah.
Now here's the thing. How do you balance nowadays the work life and something when spending time with your family or just being around? How's the work life balance for you? How do you maintain time? How do you keep yourself fresh and available at this age? You know, it's really tricky at this stage to be active every single day, or to have the same energy that you had, and you have to carry on that particular energy. What do? You do meditation, any yoga, or any kind of exercise that keeps you active and you are really fresh on that particular day on set? What's the thing with you?
I have a process of meditation that I practice in the morning and in the evening. So it kind of mm-hmm. bookends the day. And I've been doing mm-hmm. that, in actual fact, for 20 years. So
it was
something that's really lent itself to this industry. Let's face it, it lends itself to anything in my life is the bottom line. And so, yeah, I kind of set the day up and always make the time, whether or not it's a ridiculously early call time or late call time. My day starts with a number of readings, a process of thought, just quieting and just contemplation. And I go through that process, which usually takes about half an hour every day. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of, that aligns me, my thoughts, my day up ahead. And I have a general idea, which has really kept me in good stead, as well mm-hmm. as being very, very much a contributor to the same process and idea at home. And you know, we always make time, and I've practiced what I call date night with my wife for 20 Whoa. years. Yeah, so regardless, we do That's something good. At least once a week, every week, without fail. And so these are the things that have just kept that structure
active, connected.
And day. Yeah, exactly. Sometimes work comes up, it's like, right, well, you know, there's a week, you have to mm-hmm. commit to a week on set or whatever. Yeah. And so that happens, but it's not great. As often. I mean, mm-hmm. it would be nice if it happened a lot, but it's not so much that there isn't some quality downtime, as you said, there's periods.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. it's just making sure you do something during the periods that you're not busy. And, you know, just
living the moment.
Balance,
creating a moment, and it's important, very Absolutely. Important. Otherwise, there's a thing that happens is the things that we do and we love, if we keep on being at that same aura, it gets polluted by our own thoughts, which brings negativity. And we ourselves hate that thing. For the thing that the reason why we came into that, that whole reason goes away. And then something, because we are just continuing being in that same space, can bring some negative energy, which will make sure that we leave that place. And that's why this other thing, that having a mental balance and the balance between personal life and then professional life, the balance that you have with the power of meditation and spending time with your family, is also having a date night with your wife every week or every month you have. And that's fantastic. That's what keeps you alive and fresh, energetic. At the same time, you got good being in the situation kind of quality. Just be in this moment, just be present at this particular point. That's one thing that you got from that. And that's really good. That's really good.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. This is something I'm going to ask you where there was a mix shift in your life, the biggest shift that happened that really transformed a lot of things, elements inside you and your body and your brain. What was the biggest setback that you went through and how you overcome that?
Biggest setback in life?
In life, not related to acting, overall in life. That really changed you as a person and how you overcame that.
I guess the biggest setback, it kind of culminated in one period. There was a period where I was heavily into drugs and alcohol, and it was pretty much ruining, smashing everything of any value to me. And this was,
how old were you?
20, from approximately mid to late 20s, this period. And so this was a progressive sort of period where there was a lot of destruction, and so turning around and coming out of that with a lot of help and a lot of structure and process and not returning to that, and that was a very definitive turning point for me. You know, it's almost like a life of two halves. There was this life before reaching the age of 29, and then there was this life from that point onwards, and it continues. And so two radically different existences for me. So that fundamentally was the biggest and throw into the mix there a divorce and all sorts of other wreckage that falls out of, you know, life and situations. So
how you recovered, what was the thing that made you recover from drugs specifically? What was that
basically,
a makeshift moment?
There's a lot of great 12-step fellowships out there, and one specifically that assisted me, and I continue to stay very closely connected with. So that fundamentally is the biggest contributor to facilitating that change and that development. I haven't taken a drink in 24 years, and I'd like to keep it that way a day at a time.
That's good. That's really good. That whole thing that just got outside your mind, and there's no thought of having that, and that's really best control over the whole thing of wanting to have that, you know. Just that's really it needs different kind of energy and mindset to not even think of it, completely put outside of your mind, and then, you know, continue, because that's what is needed to live.
Definitely.
And I guess that's what you won in that particular period. That's the biggest win that you had, at not having a thought of it.
That was a dark period.
And you went through a divorce, right? That also was, you know, maybe kind of break you, put you into more darker period, or something that's, you know, shatters you in very different way. And go on.
It was a very, very dark and just depressive time, you know. And, you know, for a lot of other people as well, because I'll be honest with you, when you're kind of in that AJ, you're not a lot of fun to be around. So everybody around
how you used to react, suffering. You used to be quiet, or you used to get angry? What was your thing of dealing like, you personally?
I never really got angry. I don't particularly burst outward often. When I do, it's rare. But even when drinking, I just used to be an idiot is the best way of describing it. Just a bit of a buffoon and just silent a lot of the time. But it was withdrawn, you know. Just nice to be around.
Got it. That's where I guess you told me about the suicidal thoughts that you had. I guess that this was a period that you were talking about.
No, not for me.
No?
That never crossed my mind.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I thought you were also around these thoughts.
That came in work. I dealt with a lot of suicides in two places, on the tube. Mm-hmm. Whether or not it was, dealing with the aftermath, dealing with the, what's left behind primarily. Mm-hmm. And then I volunteered on the Coast Guard for a year and a half. And you would also, come across that people that have done the same thing, commit suicide, or people that are intending on committing suicide. So you'd spend a lot of time with emergency services in that area. And, we'd be primarily on the cliffs, which is where a lot of people kind of go.
Thank you for clearing that up for me. Thank you.
That's fine.
And now we are at the end of this particular interview, but here's the one thing. I was looking to ask you, but I was keep on, I kept forgetting, but now I'm going to ask this question. You appeared in Napoleon, recent release film. There was short seconds of you, but how you reached there? What was that? How you got shortlisted and what was the journey from how it happened? Just tell me.
I can't say that there was any process because that fundamentally was...
I'm not talking about process yet. I guess
there no. The process of being on that screen. Was simply a chance opportunity because at the time because that was filmed I think 2 years ago almost. And so I was doing, as I said, what we call support artist, background extra work as well as acting. And for the experience, it's great. And so I was on set for a couple of weeks on that particular film. And it was great because I was up close and watching, Ridley Scott and Joaquin Phoenix working and other good actors. And I was put in that scene. And you never have any idea as to whether or not you'll even make the cut. But it turns out that particular cut, it was quite a featured scene for me.
I saw it on Facebook.
It was chance. If you speak to anyone in this industry, a lot of what happens is to the extent naturally craft and ability, but also who you know, what you know, the network you roll in, and the opportunities. So
that's also one skill that you need to have.
Absolutely. I mean, if you definitely want to kind of advance, I've learned. Oh, going back to the previous question, what have I learned and developed as a result of an actor? Had to hustle. But fair, being from East London, that wasn't a stretch. Hustling kind of came natural.
The way you started, it was like very usual to you. Okay, I know the process of hustling.
Definitely.
You're used to it. It's not like this is a different grind that I have to do. It was usual for you. This is how I started, man.
And I'm still doing it in my 50s.
You're doing it. And I guess that's why you are very calm at this stage also. Like, yourself, this doesn't sound like something else that you're doing. It's regular thing that you are doing from last 20, 25 years. The process, just the fields and industries have changed. Now tell me, nowadays, do you attend any workshops? What is the thing that you do to be in this exercising part of acting? Do you attend workshops, anything, or you just do personally something? What's the prep now for you? How you approach?
So I do attend workshops and try to stay active. I've literally just begun another 10 session workshop, if you will. And so I am continually looking to, because every day is a school day, right? And I never want to get to the point, obviously, or even contemplate the idea that, I think I've got all I need to know. That's never going to happen. Yeah. So I'm always keen. And so, yes, workshops I've just begun.
Doodle.
As well as I love self-tape auditions, that preparation, even though most of the time the chances are I may not get it. But I always see every opportunity to practice something, to develop something, whether it's, an audition tape for a character that I've never done before. I probably won't get it, but it gives me a chance to drag off some lines, get to know them, learn them. And then that never gets old. The practice of retaining, scripts and lines. Absolutely. Especially when you've smashed as many brain cells over the years as I have. So
yeah,
I do remain active, and I remind myself, AJ, I've been doing this for a fairly short period of time, and I don't benefit from a, whether or not it would be a benefit, I don't know whether 3 years in the university would have made any difference to this process, but
It's neat. I find myself, but it's necessary. Yeah, yeah, and that's really good. That's really good. You keep around things. That's just to keep your organs active, which is required for the acting part, where, you know, if I just try my voice or you just try this particular part, that is just an exercise that and that can be used very fastly if I grasp it in proper way, exercise daily, that can be executed on the day where I get selected for XYZ character. And that's
an
why
accent.
You prepare.
Accents are a key thing.
A very, very, very important key.
Continue to try and develop.
You yourself sent me four different versions of last chapter, I guess. You did it in four different accents. And it was really tricky for me what to choose, because every voice was perfect. And that's where I chose in between. I just made shift of, I chose one part of this, then one part of that, and one part of this. So I made sure that I had samples, and I just made sure that I used a particular part of this, 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 and then I combined it and I used it. Okay, yeah, great. And you keep
and a great job you did, by the way.
Yeah.
it was a great season to listen
ending. It was the ending part. It was the ending part. So I was planning for it, and you just did. We actually, everyone was very good, and that's why it happened in proper way. So yeah, everyone did a great job there. Also, now here's the thing, here's the last part of this whole podcast, is you are someone who started very late. You started by accident, by something that you had no idea you were going to, or that was something that was going to happen in your life. You were something, you're kind of kid who never enjoyed studying. You're kind of that student where you didn't give any damn about the subjects and the teachers and the school. You left the school at age of 15. You're a mischievous kid. And that led you to take a decision where you started on your own. You started doing job at 15. Yeah. That's where things started happening for you. Cars and the things, that was really something that you got connected with. And that kept you going for the thing that led you to just change the industry, where you got a new designation, you got a new job, you got a new title, which is safety coordinator. Because films were booming at that period, and there was requirement of that particular thing. You saw that thing happening in front of your eyes for a very long period of time. How this thing is happening, how this particular thing is happening. So it gets placed on the screen, and you saw it in front of your eyes. There was a point where you thought, okay, I don't feel of doing it. I'm retiring, I guess. And now what? That's where you thought, okay, what if, because you were in this industry, you know, there's a requirement of spot boy, something that I'd, you know, just go for it. And then the sparkle, like, why just a spot by why just as extra? If I want to do it, I'll just go all in.
Yeah,
and that's where the real journey started for you. And there's a whole shift from having a proper job to having uncertainty in life, where you have good projects accidentally, but it really changed your whole thought process, and something that you practice now for daily, you know, watching, observation, grabbing those moments, just being in the moment. Make sure you are available. The meditation is now working good for you, because now it's very needed in this field, and everything falls in places for you. You are someone who are not going according to the script. That's an actor. You are pretty much just jumped in, and things really worked out, but you also worked hard for this, and subconsciously it happened. It never happened like you did something consciously. It was inside you, and that particular experiences are helping you out today in 2024 also, and also in coming years it's going to help. But there are something that you really worked hard on and implied and brought a lot of things inside you by working on your craft. Someone like you who got here in very different way, what advice you'd like to offer to the world and to the aspiring artists or to the people who are looking to be in this field? What advice you'd like to give to those guys who are just starting?
That's a tough question.
A simple one,
it is simple, but not easy to answer. I think ultimately the key to all of this, at any juncture that I found myself, whether it's leaving school, whether it's changing careers, whether it's, you know, becoming a self-taught mechanic on cars, whatever, it's just literally jumping in and not being afraid to fail. I mean, ultimately, this may go terribly wrong. However, I'd rather have tried something and not been successful at it than not tried it and then start wondering, well, I don't know, would I have been any good at that? Because that's the worst thing. Oh. And so ultimately, if acting's what you're passionate and you've decided, that's what I want to do. And at the same point I did, had the same thought and the same inspiration, the same desire. Whether it's as a kid growing up, you go through university for 3 years following this passion, or at some point in your life, like me, it just arrives and like, okay, we're going to do this. Well, if that decision and that passion's arrived, then act on it is all I can suggest. And if it doesn't go the way maybe you thought, or the way you thought it would pan out or plan out, and it didn't work for you, then I can quite satisfyingly say, well, I tried that. That wasn't for me.
Yeah. However, that's a clarity of thought you get. That's a big clarity that you get. And thank you for putting this thing out. The way you said it, like, if you want something to happen, jump.
Got to jump.
Make sure your mind is clear when you're doing it. Bring the clarity of thought. Bring that clarity that if it didn't work, if you fail, at least you know you tried it, rather than having the thought of, oh, I wish if I did this, then this would happen. It doesn't go like that. And that's really one thing that gets applied in every part of our life, not just acting, not just think that in everything that if you are looking that particular thing to happen, you should actually jump and make sure that, okay, was this for you or not? You can only judge that by doing it and not just thinking. That's really, thank you for that powerful advice, I guess. This really something that triggers here. That trigger is really important. That clarity is really important that you had. Hey, let's try this. Why to have a second thought, or why to just overthink on this particular thing? Do this, then X, Y, Z thoughts coming on. No, jump. Make sure you have clarity when you jump, and then you decide. It's good for you, it's not. And the one thing that you told is really good, that even if you jump, you're going to fail. If you fail, no problem. You know you fail. That you know that, okay, I failed now, but at least I tried. That satisfaction is different. That's what clears here. Now, that's really important. Once you're clear here, then you can do other things. If you're just stuck here of jumping and not jumping, then that's really a killer. For you as a character in life.
Absolutely.
Because that makes you a decision maker in life. You make sure you make that decision right. And thank you for sharing this particular advice. It really is where it will hit here for actors. Not overall, but it's really the trigger part of advice that you shared. And actually, that's your whole life. What you did in the life, that's what was that. You just jumped. And then figured out, okay, I can swim in this part. I can swim in this part. And then you become a good swimmer. And then you are now floating on the sea, in the ocean. And, and whatever you're doing, just you're a good swimmer now. And thank you. Thank you so much, Mark. Thank you for sharing this particular advice. Thank you for being on the show. Thank you for being part of the Knights of Avalon project. You actually ended the series. Okay. I guess he's calling you. But we are going to end this. Thank you so much for being on the show. It was a pleasure having you and talking to you. Your dog is calling you back.
Let her out and we'll finish this properly. One second. Hey. Sorry about that. She's seen a cat or something. Anyway, but
No problem.
I just want to say thank you as well, AJ, for the opportunity on the Knights of Avalon and having me to speak on the podcast as well. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing your journey. You know, this the motto of the show and the whole idea of doing is figuring out the journey, figuring out how XYZ artist came and what was the journey. No matter if you're seeing him on screen or if you're seeing him in XYZ films or short films, how he came here, like what was his journey? Because every artist has a different journey. And today you are a big example of how things happen for you. And now you're appearing in big films and television and short films and in stage plays in 2024. Yeah. So thank you for sharing your journey. Thank you for being on the show. It was great to know about you. And thank you very much.
Pleasure. Thanks very much. Thanks for having me, AJ. Appreciate it.
Okay. To everyone, everything related to Mark Collier will be mentioned in description, where I have mentioned a lot of links for the stories and the interviews and every stories from different genre. You can also find a lot of info about Mark Collier and his social media handles in the description of this episode, particular podcast episode. And here we end the episode. I am Ajay Tambe, the host and producer of this show. And now I'm signing off.